A March 2023 study estimated that US adults spend on average 56 minutes a day on TikTok. By comparison, US adults spent 30 minutes a day on Instagram. That's almost an entire film's worth of content being consumed every single day. TikTok has traditionally been known as an entertainment platform, but with its new position as a search engine for Gen Z, its launch of TikTok Shop, and ambitious plans to target sales of up to $17.5 billion in 2024, its influence can no longer go unnoticed by brands and retailers. Social commerce has most certainly arrived, and it's here to stay. Welcome to Inside Retail, the podcast brought to you by Edited, the world's leading AI-driven retail intelligence platform. In this podcast, we delve into the current retail landscape, uncovering the opportunities and challenges it's facing, with me, Grace Hill. This week, I'm speaking with TikTok's fashion e-commerce leader, Tom Wintle, to uncover how a platform that was once known for lip-syncing and dance trends is transforming into a retail giant, taking on the likes of Shein and Amazon. We'll be discussing how customers engage with TikTok Shop, its launch of the Shop tab, and how they're supporting retailers in generating profit and not just top-line sales, with some incredible case studies to prove it. And finally, how retailers can get started in building a winning TikTok strategy. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, Tom. I guess for our listeners, to kick off, it would be great to understand a little bit more about your role as TikTok's fashion e-commerce leader. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that role entails?
Yeah, absolutely. So a very exciting position, really, where we or my team is responsible for growing the fashion division within this wonderful world of TikTok Shop. So very much the native commerce side of TikTok, where, of course, you can see great videos, live streams, and buy directly. So our team and my role is to bring on everything from global names right through to those sort of SMB businesses and help them navigate this social commerce landscape that we're now very much in.
And could you give us a little bit of background about your career? I know that you've got a long history in retail itself. I think you first came across Edited when you were working at Sainsbury's.
That's correct. Yeah. One of your good colleagues, Anna, and I had several connections back then. So I think I began my career working within strategy consultancy. So I started off at Accenture before then finding my love for retail and fashion, a few projects I was working on. And then I jumped in-house. So I was working within the strategy team at Sainsbury's, primarily within 2.co.uk. So it was an exciting moment there where they were just branching out with their own marketplace, their own e-commerce strategy, bringing on some great brands to sell and build the online channel. So that's actually where I think Edited came across my path. And of course, it was a great tool for us to use within the business. But since then, I moved on to Otrium, which for the UK listeners perhaps isn't so well known, but in Europe is a really fast growing and really strong off-price fashion marketplace. So I was there during the COVID era, actually, which for many businesses was a very tough time. But actually for Otrium, given that it was focused on excess inventory, it was a really crazy period for us. So a lot of brands coming to the platform to see, you know, how they could actually get rid of their excess inventory, let's say more discreetly, more sustainably, and ultimately profitably as well. So yeah, from there, I took the jump to TikTok, another marketplace where I currently am now. And it's a very, very fast paced environment, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now.
In terms of TikTok Shop itself, could you take us on the journey there? Obviously, TikTok is famous for being a social media and content creation channel. How has it become an e-commerce channel that it is today?
So I think we're all aware how powerful TikTok is right now, the omnipresence of the platform across the globe. We now have 1.5 billion monthly average users on the app. The other thing worth noting is the hashtag phenomenon known as TikTok made me buy it. So this hashtag was something that continues even now to grow at a crazy rate. I think the recent stats would say it's 88 billion times that this hashtag has been viewed. So of course, people were using TikTok initially as an entertainment platform, but suddenly found out that it was influencing a lot of their purchasing decisions. So some really great stats came out of a recent survey we did internally in 2023, where actually 2 out of 3 users said that they are actually likely to buy something whilst using TikTok. Going one step further, 47% of those users say they actually bought something they then saw on TikTok. So really seeing this influential power is what made us realize, you know what? Let's bring this all in-house. Let's build a native solution. Sure, it's great that we can drive that external checkout on-brand website. But if we can bring that home, we can really streamline the process, use the data that we have to make commerce through TikTok even more effective, then we should definitely start doing that. So it's only been around for a couple of years, but of course, our ambitions are to roll this out globally. And in doing so, bring on some fantastic brands and continue to evolve this wonderful world of social commerce.
Wow. I mean, those stats are pretty impressive. 1.5 billion active monthly users. What a captive audience. I can't imagine many retailers have that type of traffic going onto their site. So could you tell us, I think you mentioned maybe previously the average session length. How long are they actually on the site for?
Yeah, so the data that we're seeing is that consumers on average are consuming over a film's worth of content every day. So putting that in perspective, that's around 90 minutes of content consumed through the app.
Wow. And why, I'm just curious, why do you think that they're spending so much more time on TikTok than on others?
So I think the main thing here that TikTok really differentiates itself on is the power of the personalization of the algorithm, of the data that sits behind that. So very quickly, the app can learn your interests and obviously surface those videos or live streams, information, whatever it may be, to you in a way that really does capture your mind and keep you there.
In terms of TikTok Shop itself, you're the leader of the UK business, right?
Yeah, so it's the UK business right now. As I say, we have plans to roll out globally, but we're actually at the moment live in 3 separate markets. So the UK, the US and Southeast Asia. And of course, we have, let's call it our sister app, Douyin, that's been around many more years in China, really where we've seen huge amounts of success. And we're taking the learnings from there and applying them to the different markets in the Western world.
And could you tell us a little bit more about how you've adjusted TikTok for the Western world versus your sister app, Douyin?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're still very far behind. If I was able to show you now some of the live streaming studios, and the way that brands are approaching social commerce over there is mind-blowing. It's really like a film studio in many cases where you have these exciting backgrounds, maybe even recreating a mountain range if it was for an outwear brand, or you've got 360 cameras for the models or the presenters that you have there. And the way it just works is crazy. And also the frequency at which people are doing live streams. You know, there are brands that are live every hour of the day in that marketplace. So, of course, we want to move towards that in the UK and the US market, but I think it takes time. It's different cultures, different setups, of course, within a business. To set up a 24/7 live stream service is not a quick fix. There's a lot of effort and testing and learning that would need to go into that before they apply themselves in a similar manner.
And in terms of that testing and learning, I'm really fascinated about obviously your launch into the UK and the US market specifically. And what have you learned about those customers and any nuances there about how they interact with TikTok Shop?
Yeah. So, I mean, my focus is, of course, on the UK right now. I think right now it is very much what we're seeing the customers at the moment are those looking for the cheaper products coming through, the discounts, the exclusivity of the product mix that they're seeing, certainly. I think this was the same as well over in China when they first launched. But the reality is in the UK, we have 25 million users, active users on the app on a monthly basis. So, of course, not everyone there is looking for a heavy discount. And this is one of the myths, I think, that we are looking to debunk right now with some of the brands and customers out there, that very quickly we're seeing, even in the luxury space, that there is a demand. But ultimately, it's the awareness in the market right now. So we've devised a plan that, you know, in the next 2 to 3 years, we will build towards those higher net worth individuals, those higher price point products. So definitely in the UK, the average selling price right now, or sorry, the average price of the basket is around £35. So of course, we're seeing that increase year on year. And I'm sure that trend will continue.
So out of curiosity, when they're checking out through TikTok Shop, are you seeing, you know, how are you seeing like units per transaction evolve over time? Are people buying one-off products or are they buying a basket? How are you seeing that interplay?
Yeah, so the basket size is hovering around 1.3. The reason why it's still, let's say, between one and two is due to the formats that they're consuming. So there are four pillars really to TikTok that we have now, just to step back a little bit. You have live streaming, you have short form videos, which can either be a brand posting their own videos with shoppable links, or of course, a number of creators that can be out there advocating for your products and tagging videos as well. And then you have more traditional marketplace formats for selling. So with behind your brand handle, your TikTok handle, you can have your entire catalog there for customers to browse and purchase. But more recently, we've launched what we call Shop Tab. So very much akin to an Amazon-esque style marketplace where you can move in two swipes along to the tab and find literally anything, not just fashion. We have beauty, FMCG, a whole host of other categories. But the two most prominent channels or pillars that we see are the live streaming and the shoppable short videos. And very much those drive impulse purchases. So it's maybe one product or two products to really catch your eye. And you see there's a good discount or an exclusivity factor there, or even the words of the influencer themselves that really inspire you to make that purchase there and then. So this is why I think when we look at the basket size, it really is that 1.2 items on average that people are buying. Obviously, in a typical marketplace, if we take even an ASOS model, right, the idea is to, in many customers' viewpoints, to buy multiple items, test them all out, and of course return, say, four or five of those. But here it's very much impulse-led, so I think that's what's driving the smaller baskets right now. But on the flip side, another key point is actually the frequency of purchase. So through TikTok, the average number of purchases per year is 10.
Wow.
So compare that to many other marketplaces, it's a pretty strong figure.
Yeah, because typically a retailer, they'd be absolutely thrilled if they had their customers returning to their site 10 times a year. That's pretty incredible. And in terms of kind of category performance, obviously we've had Leslie Hall come on and speak specifically around the impact of beauty. But obviously you can buy everything from kind of home products, home care products, fashion, beauty. You know, where do you see kind of that performance lie? But also more specifically within fashion, do you see certain categories outperform others?
Yeah, so the good thing is in every category right now, we're seeing double, triple figure growth. Still a huge market for brands to tap into. Beauty definitely was one of the first to really drive the most engagement and the most early revenue on the platform. And it still is our biggest category, but fashion is not far behind. How that works and how you kind of build up that interest is very much to do with the community. You've probably seen through a lot of media, even TikTok itself, these communities are a big thing that people focus on. So Beauty Talk was one. We have Book Talk as well. These hashtags that link you to other people with like-minded interests. Videos then are surfaced to you that not only you have, let's say, higher interest in, but the way TikTok serves it to you is also in a way that you see content you'll have a higher propensity to buy from as well. So these hashtags are real good indicators to help see which categories are perhaps going to be the biggest and most effective at selling through TikTok.
Super interesting. And I guess tell us from a fashion point of view, you know, we obviously know the classic mix, assortment mix, but it'd be fascinating to understand how does that translate into TikTok and where do we see most success?
Yeah. So on that point around which categories we're focusing on, which categories are growing, I think I can break it down a number of ways. The most obvious fact to share is that the split at the moment between male and female is around 70-30. So we have majority women buying through TikTok Shop right now. So maybe part of that is around the one, the creator network that we have, both within TikTok and within brands networks. And they do seem to have a higher proportion of female influencers, creators putting out the content right now. Also, the brand mix that we started with, those that saw the most success were women's wear brands. As I say, initially focusing more on fast fashion, the cheaper end of the market. You have the likes of the Catch Me's of this world, Virgo, Ella Shoes, and then the Boohoo Group, PLT, etc., Tala. So some really fantastic brands on there, but again, women's wear centric. So we are conscious of that. And as I mentioned before, we know the sheer volume of users that are on the app is 25 plus million people that are on TikTok. So of course there is the men there that are looking for those great brands. So we're having those conversations with more menswear centric brands, retailers, even marketplaces, and bringing them through. So I'm sure we will see this balance shift, but certainly in category mix, women's wear as a whole is very, very strong. Bags and accessories as well, seeing some really good growth. And in terms of price point, as I say, it's still that sort of sub £50 mark that's driving the majority of sales right now. But we are conscious of that and we are looking to build this price point over time.
And in terms of kind of range building and building out that price point, when you're having conversations with brands and retailers about their presence on TikTok, are they, you know, having conversations with you about potentially building out ranges that are suited to the TikTok consumer based on the volume that they can do through that channel?
So at the moment, I would say no. I think with the more mature merchants, they would start to look at it this way. For most of them, it's really just trying to understand the dynamics of social commerce. It's such a new world for them. And it involves not just a social team. I think this touches every element of a business, the merchandising team, the buying team, the strategy team, e-commerce team, social team, influencer teams. There's so much that goes into it. So in those earlier conversations, in the almost first 3, 6, even 9, 12 months, it's just about setting the foundations, really nailing down the structure within the business, testing and learning with different content formats, live streaming, short videos, listening to our merchandising insights teams on which categories perhaps we need to move in the next couple of weeks, which categories we should move out, etc., in line with those trends that come and go on the TikTok platform.
I was actually looking at PLT's TikTok Shop presence earlier today. Are they, you know, just kind of for our listeners and building their awareness and understanding of how it works, are retailers and brands uploading their entire kind of e-commerce product catalog onto TikTok Shop, or is it a kind of selection and curated range?
So it is very varied. I think it depends on the technical setup. So to go a bit geeky on this now.
We love the tech deep dive.
So I'll try and simplify it. So I think, look, first up, you can very much start on TikTok manually. And when I say manually, we're talking about stock files that you upload to our backend platform known as the Seller Center. Of course, doing that, there is a little bit of elbow grease required. You have to have the stock file in place, the imagery to go with it. Everything is manual. So by default, I think to scale that up, to have your entire catalog, to be able to update that just as you would with your typical e-commerce catalog, is a huge amount of work. I think on top of that, we know that this is a unique environment. It doesn't necessarily work in the same way as a typical online marketplace. So virality is huge. And very often the idea, at least in the early stages, and also prior to us having ShopTab, which as I mentioned was our own marketplace side of the platform, it was really trying to second guess and work out which would be the hero products. So initially you start with a small selection, if you were doing it manually anyway. And those that got earlier traction, we lean in further. You add more product depth behind that. You look at the similar products. So I think having your full catalog is pretty rare. But those that are on the manual model, even those that are fully integrated, typically take this approach because it's much more difficult in this world to understand and, let's say, forecast the sell-through because of the dynamics, because of the trends that hit the market suddenly. and spread like wildfire.
That leads me very nicely onto a question that I had to you about viral products. As you said, it's kind of a major key part of the kind of TikTok strategy and in terms of what it's been famous for and those hashtags that you mentioned earlier. How can you identify or better forecast what a hero product could be, and how do you potentially get it to that status from a retailer's point of view?
Good question. So I think identifying the trends, well, TikTok is the right place to go. If, as an example, you look at the Adidas Samba sellout, there's a lot of data to suggest that the search volumes on TikTok and the spike in interest in Sambas happened many months before the search increases in Google and ultimately the sellout. So TikTok itself is a great platform to quickly identify the trends that are bubbling up. And of course, we have an internal data team that we can apply to the relevant brands to help them pick out those categories or products that are perhaps seeing an increase in demand or interest. You can, of course, look at the hashtags themselves, which are a good indicator of what's perhaps moving. And then once we identify it, then it's really helping the brands to lean into this as quickly as possible. So maybe in the world of fast fashion, it feels like they have a faster speed to market in terms of, all right, getting from product design right the way through to an actual product that you can launch. So they have the flexibility that really puts them in a good position to jump on the back of these trends, number one. So they're definitely in the driving seat. But how do we do that? Well, we have many tools available for them to use. Probably the most powerful is our creator network within the TikTok ecosystem, both paid marketing point of view, but as we're talking about TikTok Shop, we have a marketplace of creators specifically there to help empower you and drive sales through social and short form videos on TikTok. So we can quickly engage the right creators who are in line or already jumping on board with these viral trends, viral products. And once you have your products in place, of course, we do the matchmaking. We align you with a team of people. We can encourage them to post in a number of ways. You're probably aware of championships, of course, but also maybe there are increased commissions that we offer to get them interested earlier or up and running earlier. So I think engaging the creators very quickly is your best route to jumping on the back of these trends and capturing some sales as part of that movement.
I love the way that you term kind of matchmaking there with brands and retailers and those content creators that you have as part of your marketplace. I know Business of Fashion, in their State of Fashion report for 2024, said that polished, tried and tested influencer content is out and that consumers are really craving authenticity. Could you recommend how brands can kind of successfully, or how do you successfully matchmake brands with content creators?
The way we work, we give options to brands. Now, we have two types of creator plans that you can use. One is called the target plan. Now, this is where you would choose the specific products that go into said plan. This plan then goes into the creator matchmaking ecosystem. So this is a marketplace where creators that are signed up to TikTok can then view these plans, see the products, and put their hand up and say, hey, I want to be part of that. With a target plan, you are much less visible. This is where you actually put a plan out there to specific creators. But on the flip side, we have an open plan where the products, the commissions, maybe even the championship part of that plan is very much visible by the entire community. And those that really lean into the TikTok Shop ecosystem are happy to put a high amount of samples, free samples behind that. They're happy to go ahead with no approval process so that any creator can opt in, immediately they can get a sample and they can post. But I would say the majority of brands find the happy medium where the plan is open, so it's visible to the 100,000 plus creators that we have on the TikTok ecosystem, but there's still an element of control in an approval toggle. So what would happen is they would see an inbox fill up over time, And they can then review each and every creator. And there are different filters that we provide. We also have dedicated creator managers from the TikTok side that can help you understand a bit more about these talents that are trying to apply to your plan. And we can matchmake that way. So if they see of these 300 creators that have opted in to take one of their products and post a video, maybe 100 of them are perfect, in which case they can click in one single button, accept, send a sample, and those 100 creators will receive that in a matter of days. And then they can track the activity over the next month period to see exactly when they received the product, exactly when they posted. And of course, we empower them with the data in the back end to then view that performance. Did that attract new followers? What sort of sales did that drive? The conversion, the engagement, everything is there for them to ultimately review and then improve in the next wave of creator engagement. So a really, really exciting space.
I feel like as well, it's such, as you said, it's such new territory for brands and retailers. And, you know, ultimately, you want to be on the front line of innovation and really pushing the boundaries, but can understand why, you know, you have those tight brand guidelines for a reason. But it's exciting to kind of hear what the possibilities are and the impact that that can have. So could you tell us a little bit more about maybe a specific example or a case study of a brand that you have worked with and kind of how they were able to successfully connect with their customers through TikTok Shop?
Yeah, sure. So I think you mentioned Pretty Little Thing already. So they've been a great partner of ours. Their head of brand, Becky Turnbull, is a real champion of TikTok Shop. And she was able to hit the ground running, really throw everything at the platform, unafraid to try new things. And it's been a great success case for us as one of those true key accounts, those true big brands that have hit this head on and seen some fantastic success off the back of it. And success, not just in the form of revenue, which is of course key here, but the engagement as well, the interest, and also the off-platform revenue, let's say. So those halo effects that come from being actively involved in TikTok Shop. So with PLT, we officially launched around May 2023. And the way we approached this was very much a big bang launch. As I say, a lot of other brands would typically want to dip their toe in the water first, test and learn, go small scale. But this was refreshing to see, where the idea agreed was that we would go really hard into this on both sides, even to the extent where we signed off co-branding so that you could have the PLT times TikTok Shop launch, even on a huge billboard in Manchester, I think potentially one in London as well, in all of their email comms going out to their existing customer base and on our own comms going out on the platform, on TikTok, of course, on our LinkedIn, in many other avenues, built that early interest and excitement around Pretty Little Thing coming onto the platform. Beyond that, the actual launch plan was carefully crafted and built through a number of phases. But in the first phase was very much trying to create as much noise as possible. So in doing so, we actually had a week of live streams where Becky, myself and the team were able to engage some top creators, some of whom PLT work with anyway in different formats, but some creators that we were able to matchmake with them. So over a period of 7 days, we did a number of live streams, which again were done in their studio in London with a backdrop co-branded with the TikTok Shop logo, PLT logo, a fantastic product mix where we were able to also provide insights on the right sort of merchandise, price point, discounting strategy to build, let's say, that early spike in orders. And from that point on, we then started to really push creator short videos. So you're talking in the hundreds, maybe even in the thousands on a monthly basis now, with creators regularly getting product, giving those honest, authentic reviews. It could be a haul, it could be a get ready with me, many, many different themes or styles of putting content out that really do capture not only their existing audience, but of course, those new incremental customers that they can drive through the TikTok platform. They've been fantastic. And I think there are ambitions to try new things, to really think outside the box. my team, TikTok Shop as a whole, even in other categories, we're really happy to push the boundaries, to try new things, to really stretch and evolve this to something even more special than it already is right now.
So Tom, when we speak about PLT and the success that TikTok Shop has had, what is the impact that that has had on their business?
Yeah, so I don't think I can share specifics in terms of actual revenue, but I can very confidently say that in a short space of months, they've hit beyond the millions in revenue. So this is a world they'd never stepped into, of course, but in a short space of time, they've been able to build a very credible and very profitable new channel for them directly through a single ecosystem, that is TikTok.
So you'd mentioned with Boohoo Group specifically, or maybe PLT, where they've had such great success with their launch in 2023, and you're really looking at kind of pushing the boundaries. Could you give us some insight into brands and retailers that are already on TikTok Shop? What are they looking to next? What are the next things that they're expecting? What's to come with TikTok Shop and the formats and how they can kind of drive conversion and success through that channel?
Definitely. So with the retailers, the way that they've launched, and it's a more recent focus of us with retailers, reason being, they are less socially savvy in many cases. They don't really have the team structures in place to move into this world of creators. But when we launched ShopTab, the marketplace, essentially it's another listing avenue for them. So an extension of their D2C ecosystem where they can host their products and drive direct revenue within the audience of 25 million plus. So it's a huge opportunity for them. So it was almost a quick win just to come on board and do business as usual through TikTok. But of course, the next step for them is, okay, but we're not really set up to this world of influencers. How do we engage them? What is it that we do? But luckily, we have an entire team of dedicated account managers that can handhold you through this process. As we mentioned already, we have the creator marketplace. So if you don't have influencers within your network, that is absolutely no problem. We're there to find the relevant talents within the world of TikTok, match you up with them, and help you start turning the cog, really moving into the true social commerce space. The same goes with live streaming. We have an internal studio team that in many cases, with the right commitment from brands, we can offer the studio, or we can go out to their offices, even their warehouses, right? Set up the cameras, bring in some of our presenters to stand alongside their presenters, and create some really impactful content through a 1, 2, 3, 4 hour live stream. So the fact that we have so many resources available, we really can help the retailers move into those unknown spaces. And I think on the flip side with the brands, a lot of those brands we work with now are very much social savvy. They're already doing the creative videos. They're already doing the live streams. So we are really looking to essentially grow their new revenue channels through the shop tab. So we've created a top brands tab within our marketplace. So a lot of these great players we've mentioned, PLT, Boohoo, will be exposed within the top brands section so that they can drive new revenue through a channel that's perhaps more light touch for them. Because the one thing here is that you perhaps will hit a ceiling. If you are pumping content out all the time, you need somebody within the business who's managing that process, whether it's your in-house content or whether it's creators. The thing I have to say here is it takes a lot of work. You have to have the people in place to do that. So many brands, I wouldn't say they're at capacity, but they are fully immersed in this world. So any quick wins where they don't have to put much effort in is something they'll jump at. And this shop tab marketplace opens up their product mix to a vast, vast marketplace of customers, over one third of the UK population. So in their case, it's moving into almost the core e-commerce standards again. And it's the reverse for retailers.
third of the UK market that's spending a film's worth of time on the platform. So at Edited, what we're super passionate about is obviously not just knowing what makes you money, but who makes you money. So could you kind of explain a little bit more about how brands and retailers are using the customer data that they're able to surface through TikTok to drive success across the wider omnichannel strategy?
Certainly. So I think when they look at this holistically, many brands that we work with now, I think a key aim is to, of course, increase that customer lifetime value. And that means building early affinity with those younger generations. Now, TikTok, perhaps thanks to it being a lip syncing and dancing app, has caught the hearts and minds of those younger generations. Absolutely. There is a huge proportion of Gen Z and probably below that are on the TikTok app. Knowing that is something that we would then explain in a bit more detail and share the blueprints of how you can actually connect with them through short form video, live streaming, creator content, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of the data then that they can see is, of course, on the demographics, and they can apply then analysis of different marketplaces they're on and see, okay, clearly TikTok is one that's able to drive and build that early interest with the younger generation of customers. Of course, then we have our paid marketing team that we work very closely with, so performance marketing, let's say, who can then dive into that even more. You know, the ads, the video shopping ads, live streaming ads that we have are incredibly powerful. And of course, if you're using now the multi-touch point attribution models like Phosphor, let's say, one of our core partners, you can really see the uplift in ROAS for those younger generational customers through TikTok, not just checking out on TikTok natively, but even then the month on connection or influence that TikTok had in that purchase journey, with them then finally buying on a website, at a retail partner, in a store, etc.
I think obviously you've shared some incredible insights into the impact that TikTok Shop can have on retailers and brands' businesses. But what I would love to round up with and finish off with is, what are the key fundamentals or key takeaways to building a winning TikTok strategy?
Good question. One that we get, of course, from every brand that comes to us. So number one, I would say, is be brave. And look to rewire your thinking around brand identity. So sure, the way that we try and push things is different, but it gives you an opportunity to play in a slightly different space, speak in a slightly different voice, and ultimately connect with end users in a more humanized way. And as a result, you drive interest and affinity with new customer communities, which is absolutely fundamental. So how do you do that? Well, of course, it's not just the shop tab, the marketplace. It's not just hosting your products on the catalog that sits behind your handle. It's not just rinse and repeat, putting your own brand videos that you're comfortable with. It's saying, you know what? Let's step into the unknown. Let's take the brakes off. Let's get as many creators as we can. Let's not be too precious about who that is or what specific products that they're pushing. Now, of course, it takes a while to get to that level of openness, but the data speaks for itself. Once brands do begin to loosen up, you can see higher engagement, you can see higher revenue, you can see new audiences being built, new followers, etc. So the main thing is be brave and open up your mind to new ways of showing up to your customers.
If I think about it from an executive audience, and I'm sure, Tom, you have this a lot, where executives are maybe not as, you know, digitally native, or those that hold the purse strings, what is it that you're telling them? How are you kind of catching their attention that actually they need to move fast, they need to be agile in this space?
Yeah, great question. So I think what I want to do first, perhaps with that point, is debunk some of the myths that we see, particularly at the top level. That TikTok is really just good for brand image. It's good for building brand. So when you go bottom of the funnel, they think, okay, it's not really a performance channel. But that's absolutely false. And of course, with the combination of the performance marketing you can push through the paid ads on TikTok, some of which can be external checkout to your website, but now with the native commerce solution as well, so pushing through TikTok Shop's checkout, you will see that the data there is phenomenal, that the uplift in ROAS, in bottom line conversion through TikTok, is significantly higher than many other channels out there.
That was also going to be a point I want to ask you, was on, you know, in the current environment, everyone is hyper focused on profitability, not just top line growth, but bottom line growth. If there's any other insights that you can share on how TikTok Shop can support there.
Profitability is a big thing. The one point I would probably make clear to the audience here is it is very commercially compelling, the offering that we have. We work on a commission basis. It's a 5% commission on the total amount paid by the buyer. So again, compare that to other marketplaces out there. This is a really low fee. And on top of that, particularly in these early phases of our growth within the UK, within the US, there's a lot more investment that we're putting into this as well. So everything from boosting traffic through to different months, there will be subsidies that you can tap into. It may be discount vouchers that we would be investing in, or potentially it is, from a customer point of view, a shipping voucher, meaning that they can get products to them without spending £5 on the 2 to 3 day delivery. So there's a lot more that comes back to you outside of that 5% commission as well. So we can do the numbers, of course, with individual brands, but profitability through TikTok, I think, is a very good channel to explore in more detail.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us. That was an incredible conversation. We really loved having you on and really appreciated it.
It's all right. Yeah, no worries.
Thank you so much for listening to Inside Retail with me, Grace Hill. For more insights, head to our resources section on edited.com and follow the podcast so you don't miss an episode.